throughout history, trends have ebbed and flowed. Different words have come to popularity. Like in the 80s, it was rad, totally. Today in the church world and outside of the church world, there's a buzzword that you see almost every time you open up Twitter or anything else, and it's deconstructionism or deconstruction, which is when someone just completely walks away from their faith or they break down their faith that they've had as a child and they move into this space of openness. And I've even heard some become universalists after they've gone through this deconstruction. So that's what we're going to focus on today, talk about today. I'm Britt Knipper, Life Talks producer, sitting in once again with Pastor Dan Burrell.
Yeah, and in fact, there's, you know, several words. Deconstructionism is the more technical term for it, but one of the buzzwords is exvangelical.
Exvangelical, yeah.
Yeah, and it kind of, probably the one that kicked it off biggest was Josh Harris, who wrote the book I Kissed Dating Goodbye. He was kind of an icon to millennials. But following him, there were several high-profile, I use the term loosely, Christian artists who were in bands and so forth.
There's Kevin Max from DC Talk, John Stegerman from, I can't remember the band he was in, but those are some big ones now too.
Yeah, there's been a couple of bloggers and there's been a couple of pastors and so forth. And of course, in our world of social media and in a world where we celebrate outrage and excess, these names all of a sudden became, you know, everybody had to write an article. Everybody had to do a podcast. Everybody had to. And then, of course, then we have to fight among ourselves. What should our posture be toward them? Should we have forgiveness? Should we have patience? Should we excise them or excommunicate them? You know, all these different things. And in the process, I believe we have given them a bigger megaphone than they deserve.
I agree.
And that's kind of where I want to go with this, because people are asking me this all the time, what about all these people that are deconverting? What about all these ex-evangelicals and so forth? And the reality is there have always been fraudulent Christians. There have always been people who walked away from their faith. You know, one out of 12 of Jesus' disciples was a deconstructionist, okay? He literally saw it up front and personally, and he still betrayed his Savior. So there's nothing new under the sun. This is not something that is a new phenomenon. It's one that, for whatever reason, our culture has decided to emphasize. And I've known some people personally. I've known some people that shocked me. Quite frankly. So that's kind of why I wanted to talk about this topic today.
Yeah, and I've seen, too, in this movement that it's not some of them do completely just walk away from the faith, but I've noticed that other ones have created their own Jesus out of this.
Yes.
It's not that they've walked away from the name of Jesus, but they've just turned him into who they want him to be, and then that term, they're deconstructing their faith.
Yeah, and we're all deconstructionists to some level. Anytime we parse our beliefs to do what we want rather than what God's word says. You know, there is obviously this major deconstruction where we deny Christ, deny salvation, deny the authority of God's word, deny the existence of God. That's no small thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're not going to get into all the theology behind it. You know, some of the questions that often I get, and I can't answer all of these in 20 minutes. So
we'll try, Dan. We're going to need you to.
and we may break them apart and talk about them, particularly when Pastor Ben's here. But were they ever saved? Did they fall away? What does it mean when Paul talks about work out your salvation? I don't believe that means that we are part of the process of salvation and we have to continue working at it. And hopefully we're still working at it when we die, therefore we go to heaven. But if we're not, you know, I don't believe any of that. I want to state that up front and very clearly. You know, how can I know I'm really saved? What if I deconstruct in the future and all those things? And of course, now we're going to go a little bit into election
I feel like I'm sitting in a Baptist church again at 13 or 14 years. Years old.
Right, and we all want to discuss the hard questions, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I want to just spend this episode talking about the phenomenon, and I want to provide a little bit of reassurance to people. And so, you know, the first thing I kind of want to address is, how do I handle someone that I've looked up to? How do I handle my own faith, my own journey, and I see somebody deconstruct? Well, here's the reality. If your faith is attached at any level to what other people are doing with truth, then it is exposing a spiritual weakness on your part. And, you know, it sounds cliche, but it really is a matter of keeping your eyes on Jesus. So Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. That means that at the very beginning he was there, and at the very conclusion, and there is no conclusion technically, but the infinity of Christ guarantees us that he's always there, always available, and we have to keep that in mind. When you compare yourself to others, you will always, always be led astray. When you compare yourself to Christ, you'll always know to what you need to aspire, yet you'll never quite reach it. And so that gives us the inspiration, the motivation, and the direction we need to carry on and to continue on. And I believe that's what the scripture talks about, continuing to work out our salvation. We realize on some days it's going to be two steps forward and one step back. We realize that there are going to be these periods of our life, just like there were for Peter and others who slipped and fell, and yet God's grace was sufficient to get them back on track. And look at Hebrews chapter 11. I mean, you got some real characters in there. You got a lot, for Pete's sake, in the Hall of Faith. Mm-hmm. And these are people that had major flaws and character issues. So having someone go through a dark period or a difficult period or questioning period is not an indication of where they're going to end up in the end. And in order to navigate that apart from and alongside of these people, we have to make sure that our eyes are always focused on the truth of the Word of God. The Word of God in written form is Scripture, and in living form is Jesus Christ. That is our compass.
So let me ask real quick, how many of these people do you think are more focused in trying to deconstruct religion versus deconstructing their faith?
Well,
like attacking the institutional church, but then they wrap that up in a faith in Jesus as well because the church has, quote, hurt them in the past,
right,
or something.
That and that's another rant I would like to take, quite frankly, because we have turned church bashing and religion bashing into a national pastime, mm-hmm, and sport. And the people sitting on the front row are Christians. And I just think that's wrong. I really do. Is the church flawed? Absolutely. Is organized religion a problem? Absolutely. But remember this, just because you put a building and put a pointy thing on the top and put a sign out front does not mean that a church is really a church. There are lots of frauds and charlatans. And some people say, oh, well, that's just overwhelming and confusing, and so I'm just not going to try at all. Well, that's stupid.
Yeah. Stop going to work.
Yeah. There are good doctors and bad doctors. Yeah. Do your homework and find out what is really real and chart your path forward with that. I've known some horrific hypocrites, and I've seen some horrific things happen to the church. Mm-hmm. But remember this, when you start attacking the church wildly and blindly, you are attacking the bride of Christ. Mm. And the bride of Christ is very beautiful to him. And by the way, it is his responsibility. If the church needs discipline, trust me, Christ will do that. Mm, yeah. It's not my job. My job is to work out my own faith. And it is a cheap and shallow excuse to abandon your groom because you see warts in the mirror. And the reality is, we are the church. We are the bride of Christ. And there are parts of us that are ugly and parts of us that are beautiful. There are parts of us that are still under development, and there are parts of us that need a good coat of paint. And the reality is, the church is complex. And for us to just want to dismiss it because there are people pretending to be a part of the bride or people who are broken for that moment, you don't walk away from your spouse the first time you have a fight. You don't walk away from them when they get sick. You don't walk away from them when there's a challenge. Instead, what you do is you get involved and you become an agent of change and healing and grace and motivation, and then it gets better. And our relationship in the church and our relationship with Christ is dynamic. It is not static. And as a result, yeah, we're going to have periods where we're astray. We're going to have periods where we're broken. We're going to have periods where we flourish. And we're going to have periods where we're pursuing God rightly because we are a living organism filled with flawed and broken people. So with that whole idea, then, understand that any time in the church, there are people who are committing adultery. There are people who are living a lie. There are Davids. There are Lots, and there are Daniels, and there are Josephs. Mm. And so in that, we have to be wise and discerning, and we evaluate not based on whether I know them or not, or whether or not they're doing things the way I would do them, but we evaluate based on the Word of God in the person of Jesus Christ and in the presence of Scripture.
So let's talk about if I have somebody in my life that is beginning their quote, deconstruction journey. Maybe they've seen a famous celebrity deconstructing and they're moving towards that. How do I handle it?
Yeah, well, again, I think, first of all, don't be overly surprised. And of course, one of the tropes that we do is, well, I started asking hard questions, so I was rejected by the church. I've been in the church. I've been a Christian all my life. And I will tell you that, yes, I've known some jerks, but far more often, I know people who would say, that's a good question. Mm-hmm. Let's explore it together. I know far more people who would say, that's a question I've considered before, and here's how I arrived at the answer. We again, don't want to do the hard work because we're satisfied with a cliched response.
Yes.
The fact is, the church does not hate you. Christians do not hate you. We may be disappointed in you. We may confront you. We may warn you. Those are not hate. Those are born of love. If we didn't care, we'd let you go do your thing. And see, we've adopted this crazy view that if you don't endorse or even celebrate my sin or my rebellion or my questions, that in somehow you're acting hateful toward me. Absolutely not. Sometimes the most compassionate thing you can do is look somebody square in the eye and say, this is a problem, and let me share with you why.
Yeah.
And sometimes the most hateful thing you can do is celebrate somebody who's hell-bent on destruction. So we need to not let the world define our response for us, but we need to make sure that we're biblical in it as well.
So what if you're a parent and you have a child coming to you? I know it's kind of a similar question, but how would you handle that in a different way if your child comes to you and says, hey, I heard this and I think it's right, so I'm ready to step away myself?
Yeah, and this is not something I've personally overtly experienced with my own children, but I have with other people's children. And for me, the best thing that I found the most effective is to be patient with them and offer to journey with them and not excise them from your life. Certainly don't threaten them. Well, if you walk away from the faith, you're not welcome in my home anymore. No, that I don't believe is the compassionate, loving thing to do. What you do is say, may I journey with you? Can we study this together? Obviously, this is important to me. I raised you this way. But here are my thoughts. Now, again, if you go to places like Reddit, where all the, you know, the atheists like to yeah. have, you know, their little clusters of chaos of, you know, they'd make you think that every religious parent, every Christian parent is looking for ways to lock kids in their bedroom and chain them to their bed because they don't follow their religion. That's not that it happens, but rarely. Your parents love you. They care about you. Now, for a parent, if your kid's saying that, it's going to freak you out. Because your response is, oh, no, my child is going to hell. Mm-hmm. And by the way, it might be embarrassment. You may be a pastor. You know, you may be an elder or a deacon in your church. Or a,
well, look at John Piper. His son has been on my mind this whole time we've been talking.
Yeah.
Barnabas Piper is a pastor at a church in Nashville now, I believe, and writing books. And then he's got another son who has become a YouTube sensation bashing Christianity. Not just against it, bashing Christianity.
And bashing his own dad.
Yes.
And that's heartbreaking.
Yes,
but you know what? There are people. There are good people today whose parents are sitting in prison serving life sentences as well. Here's the reality: we do our best with our children, but just like you are an independent moral agent with a free will before God, and you're making decisions every day that may be contrary to the way your parents raised you, both good and bad, your kids are going to do the same. You know, one of the misconceptions is we take that verse in Proverbs where it says, train up a child in the way he is, he should go,
depart.
And when he's old, he will not depart from
yep.
it. It's a complete mischaracterization of that verse to claim it as a promise. In fact, this is in one of my courses at Liberty University where I teach. Because if you'll do a word study on it, you'll come up with a different conclusion. First of all, it's a proverb. A proverb is not a truth. It's a truism. And there's a difference. It's not a promise. It is not a covenant that God makes with us. But it's basically a saying that more often than not is true. But you also have to look at the Hebrew word. The word there, train, is the word hanak. And in Hebrew, it means get them off to the right start.
Hmm.
If you get them off to the right start, more than likely, they're going to eventually come back to that original start. It's the same word they use to describe a trellis for a rose bush or a starting gate for a racehorse. And so, in other words, you get them going in the right direction. And in doing so, the reason you do that is because you're going to do everything that you can to make sure they're beautiful and that they win the race. But ultimately, some of that is out of your control. And you have to accept that and realize that because like you are a free moral independent agent, so are your children. And every single person has to decide what they're going to do with truth. And in doing so, you know, that's part of the mystery of God's design for us. Because I got to tell you, if I could force my kids, I'd do it. Because I believe this stuff, you know? I would.
I'm right there with you. Yeah, me and my wife have had numerous conversations. We have three children, and we're like, the odds of one of them not, like, it's a real thing.
It's
and
a
I
real
hate
thing.
It breaks my heart to think about that. Yes, I would force them as well if I could.
Yeah, but it's impossible. And so, you know, one of the things that I think parents, we need to make sure that our kids understand, we need to teach them the right things. But one of the most valuable things you give your child is the freedom to question, to ask, you know, to ask the difficult mm-hmm. inquiries.
It feels like you're hiding something if you don't answer those difficult questions, or you don't even let them be asked.
And here's what I tell teachers all the time. Just because they don't ask the question doesn't mean they don't have it. You need to create an atmosphere in your home where, and you know, there are times when your kids are going to bring up topics. And I had a friend recently who's a 13-year-old said, you know, Dad, I think I may be either gay or trans. Now, by the way, my young friends tell me that it's the cool thing. Mm-hmm. It's like goth was in the 90s, you know, and wearing bell bottoms was in the 70s. Being trans or it's we've popularized it. And quite frankly, my young friends tell me that part of it is because the way the school system is configured now, it's one way to guarantee acceptance because no one dare criticize, challenge, tease, or bully somebody who's struggling with their sexual identity. And so it's kind of a safe spot for many people. But in the end, you understand, no 13 or 14-year-old has everything in life figured out, including their sexual identity. If you over-respond to that, and if you handle it incorrectly, you're going to complicate that. So one of the important things to do is to step back and take a breath, get some counsel, and journey with them. And in the journeying, you know, you continue to pray. Ultimately, there are going to be decisions your child makes. Some of them have eternal consequences, and you're not going to be able to make them for them. So you've got to do what you can do, and you have to realize what you can't do in the process. So one thing you can't do is take your voice out of their life. Sometimes your very presence will remind them of the truth that they're denying. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, you know? That's just, this is who I am. Yeah. This is what I believe. This is what I taught you. I'm not going to be shaken. I'm not going to be angry. I'm not going to, but I am also not going to give it up. So, and there are parents whose kids have chosen to abandon them because they can't cope with that constant testimony that they see as rigidity and you see as consistency. So life is complicated. Parenting is hard and relationships are complex. So all these truths have an impact. But if we are committed to a biblical worldview, if we're committed to absolute truth, there are going to be times when the position you take based on truth is going to put you in points of conflict with others, including your children. That is not the time for you to abandon truth, and it's not the time for you to bludgeon people with truth. But you in the law of Christian liberty, you can continue to live out your faith. Do what only you can do, or what God has assigned for you to do, and let God do what only God can do, which is transform the spirit.
Yeah, and let me give some reassurance out there. If you do come across somebody's Twitter feed that's a deconstructionist, or you hear something from them, their arguments are nothing new. Nothing new. People have been making these arguments for thousands of years. It's nothing new. So they haven't stumbled upon some new revelation that now they know the true meaning of God. It's not true.
Yeah, and I would also caution against being a keyboard warrior. The fact that they put it on Twitter, you're not going to convince them otherwise in a 240 character comment underneath it. It's not going to happen. So just walk away from it.
Yep.
Walk away from it.
Last question that I'll ask, because we talked about other people. How do we, it's maybe a bad question to ask, but I'm going to ask it anyway.
You're right ahead.
What can we do to protect ourselves from becoming a deconstructionist?
Oh,
and I know
question.
It feels silly to me because I know I'm secure and sound in my faith, but what if somebody's not?
Yeah. I mean, I know a Dallas Theological Seminary grad who has completely walked away from his faith, completely. Yeah. Here's the reality. There is a perseverance of belief that is part of our journey, part of our responsibility. You say, well, was that person ever saved? I don't believe they ever were. I believe God sees us past, present, and future, so he already knows these things.
Yeah.
We don't know it yet, but it is real. So how do you stay firm in your faith? Well, there is our responsibility to be disciples of Christ. And by being disciples, that means we put off the old man, put on the new man. It is a journey. And the reality is our journey, our decisions, how we navigate these things is a reflection of whether or not we really believe. Warren Wiersbe used to say this, your behavior is a reflection of your belief. So changing your behavior is not as big a deal as is believing the right things. So make sure, and by the way, we all understand that we're growing in our belief. There are things that I used to do that I don't do, and there are things that I, you know, that I didn't do that I do now.
You're a deconstructionist, Dan.
Yeah. No, but it's based on my understanding of the Word of God, and, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. sometimes, you know, things that God has had to teach me in a painful way. And certainly it has mellowed me a lot. I saw sharper edges to a lot of truth than I do now. However, one thing's for sure, my trajectory continues to be toward Christ-likeness. Mm. That's what I want more than everything. I'm not going to get it perfect. None of us are. But we ought to be moving in that same direction. And you say, well, you know, I've got doubts about my faith. I don't know. There are times when I feel uncomfortable about things I see in the Scripture. Join the club.
Join the club. If you're not uncomfortable, you're probably not reading.
I don't know right? that I would trust a pastor. Exactly. I don't know that I would trust a pastor who will not admit to the fact that every once in a while he says to himself, man, I sure hope I got that one right. Yeah. I really do. Yeah.
Or how am I going to preach on this verse?
Yeah, this is yeah, they're going to stone me afterwards. Oh, no. But here's the reality. That's why Jesus called us to be faithful. And he said this, he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. Our life's journey, when we look back on it, is composed of a million small steps. And make sure that your steps, the Bible tells us that a righteous man's steps are ordered by the Lord. Mm. Chase the Lord, pursue him. Know that God wants you to continue to work out your salvation. Pray for those who don't. Don't be distracted by those who go astray. Keep your eyes on Jesus and stay true to truth.
Mm. The last episode we did was on addiction, so stay addicted to Jesus.
Amen.
I feel like it's
good.
All right, everyone, this has been a great conversation on deconstruction. It's kind of the buzzword right now. Just be careful interacting with people who are, as Dan said, on Twitter. They're sometimes just putting comments out there to see how many other comments and likes they can get. So just stay true to the faith, stay in the Word of God, and keep following Jesus. That does it for this episode of Life Talks. We'll catch you next time.
You've been listening to Life Talks. Be sure to hit the subscribe button so you never miss a new episode. Share this podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter to let your friends and family know about Life Talks. We'd love to hear from you as well, so leave a comment and let us know your thoughts on this episode or any other topics we've discussed. Life Talks is a Ministry of Life Fellowship in Cornelius, North Carolina. For more information on Life Talks or Life Fellowship, visit lifecharlotte.com or you can find us on Facebook at Life Fellowship Charlotte.